ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सो I thought of discussing from the 11th canto, chapter 19. This chapter actually describes the perfection of spiritual knowledge. And this the perfection deals with the perfection of spiritual knowledge, and then it is leading to pure devotional service. I'll just read the summary of this chapter first, and then let's see, we'll go to some specific. Maybe the last few verses are very important in this respect, so we can discuss that. So the summary goes like, this chapter describes how those who practice speculative knowledge eventually give up their method, whereas the pure devotees remain engaged in devotional service eternally. Also described are the different practices of the yogis, beginning with Yama. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna stated to Uddhava, "One who is actually wise, who knows the truth of the self and possesses transcendental insight, rejects this world of dualities and the so-called knowledge meant for facilitating enjoyment of it. He instead engages himself in trying to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of all. This is pure Bhakti Yoga. Transcendental knowledge is greater than such ordinary pious activities as chanting of mantras, but pure devotional service is greater than even knowledge." After this, Lord Krishna requested by Uddhava to describe in full detail pure transcendental knowledge and devotional service, related the same instructions that the greatest of Vaishnavas, Bhishma Dev, gave on these topics to Sri Yudhishthira on the occasion of the battle of Kurukshetra. Following this, after being asked about Yama and the other practices of yoga, the Lord enumerated the 12 kinds of yama, beginning with non-violence, and 12 kinds of niyama, beginning with bodily cleanliness. So, the part of the 11th canto is describing, actually it's mostly describing conversation between Uddhava and Krishna. Before leaving this planet, Uddhava met Krishna. Actually, Krishna advised Uddhava what to do. Uddhava wanted to leave, but Krishna suggested that he should stay on in order to educate people about the process of devotional service. And here he is actually giving the essence of spiritual knowledge, and these few chapters are known as Uddhava Gita. Krishna told Arjun Bhagavad Gita, and here he is giving the Uddhava Gita. Actually, Uddhava Gita is far more advanced. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about the basics, like, yeah, it's the beginnings chapter, in the primary knowledge, the primary education, the difference between matter and soul, how should one live in this material nature, then Supreme Personality of Godhead's identity, the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how one can become situated in that loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. Leading to, actually Bhagavad Gita is basically dealing with karma yoga. Although its devotion has been presented, like as we know, that out of 18 chapters, first 6 chapter deals with karma yoga, last 6 chapter deals with jnana yoga, and in the middle there is bhakti, which is the essence. From 7 chapter to 12 chapter is the most considered to be the most important aspect of Bhagavad Gita. It is presented, but it has been presented in a simple way so that an ordinary person also can understand. But in Uddhav Gita, he is going very, very advanced stage of devotion. That knowledge has been identified or presented in a most advanced stage in a way. So, and it's very important also, in 10th chapter, Krishna's pastimes have been described. But now is the description of the knowledge that Krishna is imparting. His identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been perfectly established in the 10th canto. Aradhya Bhagavan, the Supreme Worshipable Personality of Godhead, is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Brajeshwatana. Vrindavan is his abode. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the way the gopis serve Krishna, that's the highest kind of worship. And Bhagavatam is the proof. So in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that has been established. How Krishna's Brajalila is the highest of all. Krishna's identity in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda Maharaj is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now in the 11th canto, Krishna is imparting this knowledge to Uddhava. Chapter by chapter, Krishna has actually advanced into that point. Interestingly, what is the previous chapter discussed? 18th chapter of the 11th canto. Varnashram. So when one is situated in Varnashram, then what? Is the Varnashram ultimate goal? No. Beyond Varnashram is spiritual cultivation. Varnashram is the practice of the process in the according to the situation of a living entity. Whether he is in a mode of goodness or passion and ignorance. Accordingly, his ashram is established and his activities have been defined. But beyond Varnashram, now he is coming to this point of devotional service. When one is situated in Varnashram, then what should he do? When one is properly situated, Varnashram, according to Srila Prabhupada, is the basis. The basis from which one will be able to practice devotional service properly. The mass has to be, general population has to be structured. What should be the structure of the society? That is Varnashram. But then, after being situated in Varnashram, then one cultivates spiritual activities. There are different types of spiritual activities. There is Ashtanga Yoga, there is Karma Yoga, there is Jnana Yoga. All different processes are there, but the ultimate goal of life is devotional service. And that has been established here. We can see that the the what at the beginning Krishna is pointing out, that other processes, the speculative knowledge. Speculative knowledge means jnana. Fruitive activities are karma, speculative knowledge is jnana, and unalloyed devotional service is bhakti. Karma has its... now this karma becomes karma yoga when that karma is rendered for Krishna, or the fruits of the karma, results of the karma is offered to Krishna. And that is the difference between karma yoga and bhakti. One is acting, but what is the basic motive of that action? Sense gratification. Therefore, okay, fine, you are motivated by sense gratification and you're acting. Offer the results of your action to Krishna. That is karma yoga. Tat kurusha madarpanam. Jat karosi, jadasnasi, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever charity you give, whatever austerities you perform, the result should be offered to Krishna. And what is the goal of jnana? Jnana actually leads to Krishna. So here we can see karma will eventually lead to jnana. Because you are trying to enjoy yourself, then you see we are offering it to Krishna, so might as well do it for Krishna. Why do it for myself and then offer the results to Krishna? So in this way, karma will eventually lead to bhakti. Jnana also will lead to bhakti. How? What is the ultimate consideration, ultimate realization of jnana? The ultimate realization of jnana is to become situated in Brahma-Bhuta platform. Brahma-Bhuta platform means spiritual platform. To recognizing that I am a spirit soul and I am offering, my goal is to surrender to Krishna. That is the goal of jnana. Brahma-Bhuta prasannat. In that Brahma-Bhuta platform, his heart becomes completely satisfied. As long as we are in the material platform, our heart is agitated. Why? Because we are always desiring for some sense gratification or other. We have desires. And sometimes the desires are fulfilled, sometimes the desires are not fulfilled. That is causing the duality. When the desire is fulfilled, then I am happy. When the desires are frustrated, I am unhappy. So, jnana takes one to the platform of realizing this material nature is only a temporary, illusory reality. My actual goal is to become situated in a spiritual platform. I am a spirit soul. Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi. I am a spirit soul. So the effort of jnana is bringing him to that point of realizing that I am a pure spirit soul. So Brahma Bhuta platform. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Prasannatma. Prasanna means completely satisfied. The heart is completely satisfied. And at that time what happens? Sama sarveshu bhuteshu. One sees everybody with an equal vision, completely equipoised. How does he see? He sees different living entities aren't just who are the parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's getting an opportunity to fulfill his desires in this material nature. Fulfill his desire for sense gratification in this material. And he sees that, how Chaitanya Charitamrita is describing, that sthabar jangam dekhe, na dekhe tar murti, sarvatra sphuraye tar ishtadev sphurti. Sthabar means non-moving objects. Jangam means moving objects. There are objects that are moving, there are objects that are non-moving. Like, for example, trees and plants are non-moving. And other creatures are all moving. So they see the form of these different living entities, but he does not see the, he does not register the form. He sees his worshipable Lord in their hearts. That is the ultimate consideration of Brahma-bhuta platform. Sarvatra sphurahita ishta deva sphurti. He sees his worshipable Lord there in the hearts of everyone. Until and unless we come to that platform, we can't develop complete equipoise or equanimity. Then we'll see the form, then we'll see their actions, and then we'll see, we'll judge them according to the way they are reacting to me. Those who are reacting nicely, favorably, we are friendly to them, and those who are reacting in an unfavorable way, we become inimical to them. So that's a natural tendency. But when we see Krishna, and how living entities are just being subjected to their karma. One is not actually, he is not an actor. He is not acting. He is simply a puppet due to the arrangement of guna and karma. And who is actually controlling this guna and karma situation? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And why? Because these people, living entities, wanted to enjoy without him. And Krishna says, go. Enjoy. And tell me, at the end of the day, what happened. And at the end of the day, we see that we wanted to enjoy, but we suffered. We ended up suffering. And that time we come back and tell Krishna, I'm sorry, Krishna. I made a mistake. Now I realize that real enjoyment lies in being with you. Being away from you, being separated from you, all my endeavor for enjoyment was simply leading me to an illusory concept of duality. Sometimes I enjoyed, sometimes I suffered, but then I realized my enjoyment also was suffering. So this is a world of suffering, and whatever you are doing here, although there is an illusory concept, an illusory allurement of enjoyment, but it is so that's the time one surrenders to Krishna. Anna bhilashita sunnam jnana karman anapritam. Jnana karman anapritam. Now he is free from the effect of jnana and karma. Karma leads to, what is the motive behind karma? The motivation behind karma is sense gratification, material enjoyment, enjoyment, endeavor for enjoyment in the material nature. And what is the goal of jnana? The goal of jnana is liberation, ultimately. So karma is enjoyment, and jnana leads to liberation. But at the stage of pure devotion, no desire for enjoyment and no desire for liberation. When you are already liberated, why do you separately want liberation? So that's what happens with bhakti. Therefore, they are free from karma and jnana. Through the about karma, he realizes there is no enjoyment in this material nature. The real enjoyment is in the spiritual world, with Krishna. And he realizes that liberation is automatically achieved when one is engaged in serving Krishna. Therefore, he doesn't have any separate endeavor for karma and jnana. jnana karman anamritam anukullena krishna anushilanam. All he wants at that point is simply to serve Krishna. So that is the ultimate goal. And the beginning, I'll repeat this point again. This chapter describes how those who practice speculative knowledge eventually give up their method. Those who are endeavoring for speculative knowledge eventually give up that method. Why? Because that is not the ultimate goal. When you reach certain point, then you give it up and come to devotional service. But in devotional service, there is no such consideration. There is no consideration of giving up devotional service. The devotional service is eternal. Whereas the pure devotees remain engaged in devotional service eternally. Why? Because that's the goal of life. Because that is the constitutional position of a living entity. Now I'll go to the end of the chapter. You came a little late, so we are discussing about the 11th canto, 19th chapter, where Krishna is describing the perfection of spiritual knowledge. So, this chapter has 45 verses. So, from 28 to 32, these five verses is Uddhava's question. Uddhava is asking. Sri Uddhava said, prior to that, Krishna actually discussed about ultimate goal of life in a certain way, but now it's coming to the essence of it. Uddhava said, my dear Lord Krishna, O chastiser of the enemies, please tell me how many types of disciplinary regulations and regular daily duties are there. Also, my Lord, tell me what is mental equilibrium? What is self-control? Beautiful question. And what is the actual meaning of tolerance and steadfastness? What are charity, austerity and heroism? And how are reality and truth to be described? What is renunciation and what is wealth? What is desirable? What is sacrifice? And what is religious remuneration? My dear Keshava, O most fortunate one, how am I to understand the strength, opulence and profit of a particular person? What is the best education and what is actual humility? And what is real beauty? What are happiness and unhappiness? What is learned? And who is a fool? Who is learned and who is a fool? What are the true and the false paths in life? And what are heaven and hell? Who is indeed a true friend? And what is one's real home? Who is a rich man and who is a poor man? Who is wretched and who is an actual controller? O Lord of the devotees, kindly explain these matters to me along with their opposites. And then, very nice question. Quite a few points he's asking. I get confused if there is more than 2 points. That's why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He remembers everything. And so precisely he answered those questions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, non-violence, truthfulness, not coveting or stealing the property of others, detachment, humility, freedom from possessiveness, trust in the principles of religion, celibacy, silence, steadiness, forgiveness, and fearlessness are the 12 primary disciplinary principles. They are known as jhama, external purification. External cleanliness, chanting the holy name of the Lord, austerity, sacrifice, faith, hospitality, worship of me, visiting holy places, acting and desiring only for the supreme interest, satisfaction and service to the spiritual master are the 12 elements of regular prescribed duties. These 24 elements bestow all desired benedictions upon those who devotedly cultivate them. Absorbing the intelligence in me constitutes mental equilibrium, and complete discipline of the senses is self-control. Tolerance means patiently enduring unhappiness. Tolerance means patiently enduring unhappiness. And steadfastness occurs when one conquers the tongue and the genitals. The steadfastness is the controlling of the tongue and genitals. The greatest charity is to give up all aggression towards others. The greatest charity is to give up all aggression towards others. And renunciation of lust is understood to be real austerity. So charity is to give up all aggression towards others, and austerity is to give up lust, natural tendency for lust. Real heroism is to conquer one's natural tendency to enjoy material life. So who is a hero? Who has controlled his tendency to enjoy this material nature. And reality is seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere. So the real reality is to see Krishna everywhere. Truthfulness means to speak the truth in a pleasing way, as declared by great sages. Cleanliness is detachment in fruitive activities, whereas renunciation is the sannyas order of life. The true desirable wealth for human beings is religiousness, and I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, am sacrifice. Religious remuneration of devotion is devotion to the acharya with the purpose of acquiring spiritual instruction. Religious remuneration is Krishna is actually making such beautiful, clarification is made in such a beautiful way. Religious remuneration is devotion to the acharya with the purpose of acquiring spiritual instruction. That is religious remuneration. And the general strength is the pranayam system of breath control. From that comes real strength. Actual opulence is my own nature as the Personality of Godhead, through which I exhibit the 6 unlimited opulences. The supreme gain in life is devotional service to me. And actual education is nullifying the false perception of duality within the soul. Real modesty is to be disgusted with improper activities. And beauty is to possess good qualities such as such as detachment. The real beauty is acquiring the good qualities like detachment. Real happiness is to transcend material happiness and unhappiness. That is, there lies the real happiness when you transcend the material concept of happiness and unhappiness. That is, when you are not affected by either happiness or distress. And real misery is to be implicated in searching for sex pleasure. What is the real misery? A wise man is one who knows the process of freedom from bondage, and a fool is one who identifies with his material body and mind. So who is a real wise man? The real wise man is one who knows the process of freedom from bondage. He is the real, who knows how to become free from the material bondage. And a fool is one who identifies himself with his body and mind. The real path of life is that which leads to me. And the wrong path is sense gratification. The right path is Krishna, wrong path is sense pleasure. By which, this sense gratification, by which consciousness is bewildered. Actual heaven is the predominance of the mode of goodness. That's the, when the mode of goodness prevails, when mode of goodness becomes predominant, that is real mode of goodness. Whereas hell is predominance of ignorance. I am everyone's true friend, acting as the spiritual master of the entire universe, and one's home is the human body. My dear friend Uddhava, one who is enriched with good qualities is actually said to be rich, and one who is unsatisfied in life is actually poor. A wretched person is one who cannot control his senses, whereas one who is not attached to sense gratification is a real controller. One who attaches himself to sense gratification is the opposite, a slave. Thus, Uddhav, I have elucidated all of the matters about which you inquired. There is no need for a more elaborate description of these good and bad qualities, since to constantly see good and bad is itself bad quality. The best quality is to transcend material good. So, in that has been also very nicely established in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna. Okay. Does anybody have any question?
I missed the first part, so I just want to clarify if my understanding is correct. Could we say that the difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga or devotional service is that in karma yoga we're acting for our own sense gratification, offering the results to Krishna? In bhakti yoga we're acting for Krishna's pleasure.
The only purpose is just Krishna's pleasure.
Okay.
No other intention.
So
karma yoga has other motive.
Right.
My sense gratification, offering the results to Krishna. But in bhakti, both are actually action. Right, service, doing something. But in bhakti, that doing something is only for Krishna's pleasure. That's bhakti. Or, you know, like, actually, Prabhupada made it even clearer. Prabhupada said, bhakti is to act under the instruction of the spiritual master. Because he knows how to serve Krishna, how to be engaged in Krishna's service.
So then the consideration of, sometimes you say devotees need to be engaged in devotional service according to their propensities. And sometimes you do whatever is required in Krishna consciousness.
Now who decides what's the propensity? If I decide my myself, then, you know, my propensity is this, so I'll do this. So this is, I'm deciding. But the spiritual master knows what's our propensity. And then he says, do this. That's the difference. that's what the spiritual master does, or that's the spiritual master should do.
Clearly explained sort of the karma yoga, jnana yoga sort of systems, but then what I find confusing a lot of the times is you read so many other different descriptions of the you could call it the expansion of the consciousness from sort of materialistic platform to the sort of pure spiritual platform. You know, you read in anamaya, pranamaya, all these different other things which describe kind of the same thing, and you've got Shraddha to Prema, and then you've got the Ashtanga Yoga, and it's sort of, there's a lot of different descriptions of what you're saying, the sort of same thing. Is there a purpose behind the sort of various different descriptions that are there? Are they saying different things, do you think? Or?
Well, it can be said that, one goes to primary school. He learns a subject there according to their level. Then he goes to high school. Then he goes to college. Then he goes to university. So the higher it goes, the subject becomes more and more profound. So similarly, the spiritual topic is becoming more and more profound. And more precise. Right? So what is the ultimate point? The ultimate point is pure devotional service. But when you're starting, then you see, it is a very basic, very broad. Like in primary school, you can't figure out whether one will be a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer. He starts learning the basics, ABCD. But as he goes up, it becomes more and more precise, more and more defined. Like for example, the consideration is whether one will go for sense gratification. In initial state, everybody wants sense gratification. So the thing is, okay, go for sense gratification. Right? But do it in a proper way. You want to enjoy, but enjoy abiding by the rules and regulations. So that is the path of dharma. And from enjoyment, he comes to a platform when he realizes enjoyment is not the real goal. There is no enjoyment. So why am I running after enjoyment? Let me find out what needs to be done. And mind you, all these are happening under the guidance of a qualified teacher.
So even that material platform that
also needs to be guided by, that will be ascertain the difference between karma and karma yoga. It is only the qualified teacher who will tell you how to be engaged in karma yoga. Otherwise, it's all karma. When you are doing it on your own, it's all your karma. All karma. But then it becomes karma yoga. Then it becomes more defined, jnana yoga. And then ultimately, transcending that point also, when it comes to pure devotion. Okay. Yes.
If you want to transcend the material platform to the spiritual platform, we need a certain amount of qualities to do that. And when we are in the spiritual world, we have these qualities. But does it then become degraded in the spiritual world? And that's why we want to enjoy separately from Krishna. And that's why we fall down. Is it degraded in such way, in that way? And do we then develop like bad qualities in the spiritual world, like possessiveness, etc.? And is that the reason we actually fall down?
It's very difficult to say why we fell down, how we fell down. You know, Prabhupada said that the reason, the cause of our fall down is in the spiritual context, in the spiritual world. Therefore, unless and until you go there, you won't be able to figure out why you fell down. Right? But what we understand is that we have fallen down, and the cause of fall down is our independence. No, in spiritual world, well, it can be described in this way. A living entity's consciousness is very minute, like a ray of light. Unto how many points you can project the ray of light? Only one point. Right, a ray of light can be projected only on one point at a time. Like we notice, our consciousness is always fluctuating. Like we want to fix our mind, but what happens? It just goes from one to another. Right? So the consciousness can be projected only on one point. So the option actually was whether to project it to Krishna or away from Krishna. That's the only two options, right? Because you can project your consciousness only in one point. It's just one ray. Now the moment you turned your consciousness and looked away from Krishna, whatever the reason may be, then when you look away from Krishna, what do you look at? What is away from Krishna? The material nature. Krishna's external energy. Now, this external energy is inferior and the living entity is superior. So when a superior living entity, although he is minute, comes across this inferior material nature, no matter how vast that is, he develops a tendency to lord over, because it's a natural tendency of the superior to lord over an inferior. So he wants to lord over the material nature. Now, originally he was the servant, and now he has become the lord. What happened to his identity? The identity got screwed up, mixed up. You know, he was a servant, now he is trying to become the master. So his identity became lost or mistaken. He developed a wrong identity. And that wrong identity is false ego. That is the first covering that a living entity gets, false ego. As soon as he looks away from Krishna, immediately, false ego. Then he thinks, how is he going to enjoy this material? Second covering of intelligence. And then his consciousness flows constantly towards the material direction through the mind, the third covering. So in this way, he developed three coverings of three subtle matter, mind, intelligence and false ego. And then according to that shape, material nature awards him a gross body, made of five gross elements. Now he's stuck. So okay, we got stuck. Now at least through the instructions from the scriptures, what do we understand? The how we can become free. What's the way? Surrender to Krishna. The cause of our fall down is revolt against Krishna, and now the remedy for that is surrender to Krishna. So that's the way to become free from our material bondage. Any other questions?
Precisely.
Is this what we're going to do for Padma?
This is just one part of it. One small little section of it. Actually, I don't know how I'm going to cover it in 3 days or 5 days. Because, so many chapters. Anyway, let me see. I'll just give the essence. Try to give the essence. Do you find it helpful?
Yes, yes. Really interesting. Yeah.
This 11th canto is so wonderful.
So interesting.
Why is it included after? I'm just wondering why it's included after, like, the Krishna sort of and Vrindavan sort of section. You'd have thought it
because
goes before that.
To come to the real subject, we have to go past many other secondary considerations to become prepared for that. Bhagavatam is a perfect presentation. You know what is the 5th canto meant for? Srimad Bhagavatam.
Confusing materialists.
Yeah. Those who are materially motivated, they won't be able to go beyond that. They'll get stuck there. Then 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th canto, Krishna's pastimes. So this is how you really get to know Krishna. Now, unless you have gone through these first 9 cantos, you won't be able to understand Krishna. Therefore, these 9 cantos are so important. Then 10th canto, you get to hear about Krishna's pastimes. Now, Krishna's Braja Leela, Krishna's Mathura Leela, Krishna's Vrindavan, Dwarka. And then it is coming to, now you're ready, are you? So anyway, and that's why just as Prabhupada gave the Krishna book, we are also feeling that, the 11th canto can be presented for the benefits of the world. It's like as we say, why can we give it? That's why you're giving it.
Ultimately, we should perform devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master, and that may not always be possible for various reasons. So does it mean that if you perform a devotional service under the guidance of the temple authorities, that your path to bhakti is slower or the same?
Yeah, like, spiritual master is not just one who gives diksha. Shiksha gurus can be many. And the main spiritual master for all of us is Srila Prabhupada, because his books are the basis. And his purports are revealing the knowledge. So that's why, and then ultimately, Krishna is the spiritual master. Bande Krishna, Jagat Guru. Krishna is the original spiritual. So, it has to be, the process has been given and it through the scriptures, and whoever is revealing it is spiritual master. Whoever is helping us to understand is a spiritual master. So that is how we have to look at the spiritual master. Okay, thank you very much.